to the 100th Psalm. Psalms 100. And we'll begin our reading at verse 1. Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we continue looking in this passage of Scripture, dear Father, I just pray now that you'd speak to our hearts. Dear Lord, that you cause us to understand the wonderful blessings that you have given to us. And dear Father, I pray that we would look to thee as we should, we would serve you as we should. And dear Father, that our attitude towards things would be like you would have them to be. And dear Father, what you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're looking at in this 100th Psalm, I think is the importance of living with an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful for what God has done, to be thankful for what God is doing. It may not be everything that we want. It may not be exactly how we want it, but it's working out as God had planned it. And that makes it good, doesn't it? Everything he does, it makes it worthwhile. Last time, as we started, we looked at he is worthy of praise and all the things that we go with that and how different from the world. You know, they look at things so entirely different than we do. But that's okay. I think we need to stay the course and keep our study, keep our thoughts, keep our ideas squarely upon the Lord. So now we're going to pick up with the second thing is he is worthy of service, which was in, we saw that in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Service to the Lord implies three things. If you're going to serve the Lord, there has to be three things. One is humility. And you can't serve someone unless you have an humble attitude. If you think that somehow you're better than they are, if you even think that you're equal to them, then you can't serve them. And that's one of the hardest lessons to get young people to understand when they go into the workforce, that their boss is just that, their boss. And the boss is always right, you know, unless you want to have trouble at work. They have their way they want it done, and that's how you need to do it. They might ask your opinion, but I don't count on it. And you're not free to change it. Do just how you want to. They're the boss. And you have to follow it. You can't serve somebody unless you have an humble attitude. You can't think, well, I'm better or I'm as good. You think that I need to serve him. That person knows what they're doing. And certainly, when we serve the Lord, we must understand that we have to have an humble attitude. We can't come to him with pride and arrogance and expect anything to happen. Second was fidelity. Service implies faithfulness. Otherwise, it would not be service, but rather betrayal. You know, the Bible tells us that of a steward, they have one main requirement in it, that they are to be found faithful. The greatest thing that can be said about any person in their Christian life is they are faithful. They're faithful in their service. They're faithful in what God has given them to do, that they seek to do it as best they can. I hate to give him credit for this, but Clarence says something that really has rung true, and it is the truth. It's just plain and simple, it's solid truth, and that is, when we're in trouble, where else can we go to but the house of the Lord? You can't go to the world, can you? You can't go anywhere but the house of the Lord. So that means that if you're having a difficult time, don't avoid the house of God. Come to the house of God. If you are experiencing difficulties, don't avoid the house of God. Come to the house of God, because this here in His presence and with His people is the only place we can get the comfort that we need. So that's something that we have to keep in mind. Fidelity, their activity. You can't serve somebody if you don't do anything. If you just sit down and don't lift a finger to do anything, you're not really serving them. And in many churches, that's what we have today, is people who just sit down and are cut riding on somebody else's coattails, and letting somebody else do it, letting somebody else take care of it. I've joked around this a lot of times, and my name is King Delegatus the First. If I can delegate a job, I will. Some of you have found that out the hard way. And not only is it something that I do, if somebody doesn't volunteer, they will be voluntold. You know, that works pretty well too, right, Dale? To do something like that. Now, why do I do that? Are there things that I could do? Yes, they are. They're all things I could do, or most of them at least. So why not? Because every job that a person does, that person feels that they are a vital part of the whole, right? You know, I'm doing so. I'm contributing to the service. And that's why I like to do that. I like to give people, and I figure I'm giving away everything I can give away. But I haven't had an issue with that at all. I'm glad to do it. Even back here with Mikey, at least one service a month that he preaches here. Can I preach? Sure. Am I getting tired and don't want to preach? No, that's not the case at all. But it's good. It's good for me to hear somebody preach once in a while. And it's good for Mikey, for his development as a preacher, to get to preach. You learn how to preach by preaching. And so it's one of those things that works out all the way around. You have to serve. You have to be willing to do what needs to be done, whatever that might be. Many think that the service to God is confined to those who are active in the ministry. However, the Scripture tells us that all who know Him as Lord and Savior are servants to Jesus. We all have the responsibility. You know, the responsibility to take the word out is not something that's just been given to a select few within the church. It is a responsibility of the whole church to take the word out, isn't it? We are all ambassadors. We are all, in that regard, we're all missionaries when we leave this house, or His house. We are to go out and serve Him as best we can, wherever God puts us to. And if you're somewhere where you can witness with a stranger, then do so. And before all this COVID stuff happened, I used to love to go sit in the mall and just sit out in the middle of the mall. They had those couches there, and I'd sit there and watch people, and sleep. And maybe I did more sleeping than watching. But that was the place I'd go. And when somebody would come down and sit down beside of me, didn't know him from Adam, but guess what? That was a good opportunity to witness somebody. Is everybody receptive? No. Some people just get up and leave. But there are those who are. And you find out there are those who also know the Lord just like you do, and you have a good time, your spirit bearing witness with their spirit. The point I'm making is, beloved, every one of us has a responsibility to the Lord and to the church that God has put us in to serve Him in every possible way that we can, whatever the capacity might be. There's no such thing as an unimportant job within the house of God. Remember, God is far more concerned with what we are than what we do. He said, wait a minute, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth now. No, because what we are will determine what we do. If you are a faithful servant of God, if God is ruling in your heart, if God is the one who's dictating what you do, then it's going to be seen in your service. It's going to be seen in the fact that you want to serve. You're looking for ways to serve. You might even find something that somebody hasn't thought of that you can do. Otherwise, the person that doesn't have anything, well, that's all they do is just sit back and do nothing. And that's a sad way. Now, let me add this. There are those who have served faithfully for many, many years. And you know, there's some young ones that have come up that can take over the load. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the natural course of time. The day will come. I know not when. I'm glad I don't. But the day will come when I will preach my last sermon here as pastor. That's just the natural thing. And somebody will come in and fill my place. That's just how things go. Hopefully not any time in the near future. I like to think I still got a good 20 years in me at least. And don't look at me like that. I'm still in my prime. Yeah. But, you know, we have to understand that, beloved, we are called into a service. We have been called into the Lord's army. We are told to put on the whole armor of God. And why would we put on the whole armor of God if we weren't to use it and not need it? We are told that Satan has his fiery darts that he casts at us. And we have to be willing to and ready to go to battle whenever the time comes. When God was giving the law to the Israelites, this is interesting. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47, he told them that they would be cursed if they did not serve the Lord with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. That is to say, you don't serve the Lord grudgingly, you serve the Lord with joy. You serve the Lord with happiness in your heart. You're glad to do it, in other words. You know, it's not something that you do just because you know that you feel like you have to. You feel like you're responsible to it. Well, you may be responsible to do it. That way it may well be true. But you may be, you should be glad to do it. David declared that he would be happy just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. That would be about as menial a task as you can have. But it was needful. It was necessary. Somebody needed to do it. And he said, as king, he'd be glad to do it. What job around the house of God is too menial for you? Or too menial for us to tackle? As we look today, there are so many people who claim to know Jesus as Lord and Savior who live their lives devoid of joy and gladness. We talked about that at some length this morning. This is because they have focused and are focused on the wrong things. Now, there are times in our lives when it's just human nature. When things are going on of magnitude, you focus on those things, don't you? I mean, that's just how last year, this time, I was focused on primarily one thing and one thing only, and that was the cancer that was in my wife. And it took control of my thoughts, it took control of my feelings, it took control of my emotions, it pretty much took control of me all over. It wasn't enough. Elaine wasn't worrying a bit. It's okay, because I was worrying enough for both of us. You know, I'm concerned with that. But what I'm saying, the point I want to make is that did not affect my joy. Why? Because my joy was in the Lord. Even as I was concerned and upset, I knew God was in control. I just let my flesh creep in. And that's something I shouldn't have done, but I did. And I wish I hadn't. But when you know that God is in control, that God works all things according to His will and according to His timetable, then that can give you joy within. And what I'm talking about, the joy of knowing that God, that you're with Him, that He is on your side, that He is with you. And know this isn't pleasant. Know this isn't a joyful time. It's something I wish was gone. But in God's time, it will be taken care of. The trouble is, we want God's time to be more like our time. And it very rarely ever works that way. Some serve God out of greed. That's hard to believe, though. But it is. This person does what they do for the Lord or for their church only for what they can get in return. I've seen businessmen who were really faithful and did everything in the world church not because they loved God. They were just drumming up business for themselves. I can remember, I haven't seen it here for a while, but you remember every year come election time, how when you had a spring revival, the politicians would all show up and go up at services. Never seen them any other time, but they were just trying to drum up votes. And that's what a politician does, regardless of who they are or who they're running for or what they're running for. A person who is greedy is destined for a life of unhappiness. You'll never find a greedy person who's happy. The two just don't go together. Why? Because earthly, physical things, earthly possessions, or human accomplishments can never meet spiritual needs. They have a need within their heart, they got a need within their life, and this desire, this craving, worldly things does not go away. It will not fill it, it will not satisfy it. Oh, you may be satisfied for a brief period, but it's not long before you're wanting something else. It's not long before you just got to have something else. And something you may need it or you may not. And they will never find their spiritual needs met as long as they focus on the material blessings. So the more that they seek happiness The reality is, the further they go away from it, the further away that they're driven from it, because they're trying to find it in physical means, in physical ways. Just the comparison that I read, this is not original with me, is that it was like drinking salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. And there'd be some truth to that. I've never drank salt water, but I'd say that's probably pretty true, because I know salt makes you thirsty. Well, if you look at the next layer, there are others who serve the Lord with a grudge. Hard to believe, but it's true. Their service for God is all dictated by this grudge. This attitude asks, why do I have to do this for God? Haven't I done enough already? Or you might say, haven't I given enough already? And that could be both financially and time. Why am I always the one who has to do it? Why am I always the one that gets talked to? Why am I always the one that gets pulled in like the poor old, well, you know who? Now, why does it always happen to me that way? Well, guess what? It works out sometimes if you're the best candidate for the job. You're the one that needs to be, you're the one who can do it better than somebody else. And not belittling anybody else, is just something that you can do. It's kind of like that hole down there in the basement getting underneath the church. There's some people can fit through there, and there's some of us fat guys that can't. And that is reason enough for me to not ever want to go and die. It's all I don't have to fit through that pit, and I don't have to go underneath there. I can send other people out there, let them crawl around. If these folks honestly think that somehow, some way, they have paid their debt to God, they don't owe God anything anymore because they've done enough. They've served Him for X amount of time, X amount of years. And generally, these folks, they're not ones that their service really adds up to that much. When you look at it, they may think this way, they've only served the Lord for 3 or 4 years. You let somebody else take care of it. Let somebody else do it. They even go so far to think that God somehow owes them something because of everything that they have done for Him. You know, God's lucky to have me. God is lucky that I'm serving Him. God is lucky that I go. God is lucky that I am who I am. Man, I don't know how this... Or you hear some people get the idea that without them, the church won't function. Without what they do, without what they give, without what they amount to do through the week's time or whatever, if they're not there, the church can't operate. Well, guess what? The church doesn't need any of us because God does not need any of us. If we were not here, He'd have somebody here to do it. The church will go on as long as it's the Lord's will to have a church here in Lily Park. But God doesn't owe us anything. They are completely blind to the blessings of God, and so therefore how undeserving they are. They don't deserve any of the things that God gives them. They do it not because of merit, but out of God's grace and love. You know, the sooner that we grab a hold of that, the better off we're going to be. That's not anything that we do it. It's like the way a man by the name of John Maxwell puts it. The instant that we are born, think about that, the very instant that we are born, we already owe somebody for 9 months room and board. And we never really pay that back. And now I had not ever looked at it like that or thought about that until I read that. I thought, well, now that makes a lot of sense. We can never do enough. We can never say thanks to God enough. We can never praise God enough. We can never express thanksgiving to God enough. But, beloved, we must do it as regularly as we possibly can, being thankful for what He's done. The last step in this regard is that some see the Lord, serving the Lord, as a grind. These are people that no longer have joy in their salvation. The affairs of life have taken that from them. This can happen to us in our relationships with others. You know, we can all of a sudden not be as close or as we should be. We think about, if you have a regular habit, some day, some night through the week that you get with somebody and you do something, and something that you enjoy and everybody else enjoys, and that's how it should be. I don't know how to say this because it's never happened, but I have seen it happen with people. When that becomes a grind, they think, well, I need to do this, or I got to do this. And you don't, the fun kind of goes when that happens. And it shouldn't be that way. And I'm thankful that with the few things I do, it's not that way. It's still a joy. And it's something that is enjoyable. And beloved, our service for God should never be grind. and to be joyful in everything that we do for Him. We are not to serve the Lord with a grudge or as a grind. We are to serve Him with gladness. And this type of thing that can happen, this type of thing comes in our life. Beloved, it can only happen to us if we allow it to. It don't come out on its own. It has to only come if we allow it. So it's easy to do this if we remember what this verse 3 tells us. Our attitude for the Lord, our service for the Lord, will be more like it ought to be if we look at it that way. Next, in the third verse, we see He alone is God. What we know is no one deserves our service like He does because He is God. Therefore, as we've got into this morning, Brother Dale got all my stuff here this morning, kind of ran with it a little bit. I thought I was going to throw a book at him. Beloved, He must be first in our lives. Not second. Not first when everything's going well. Not first when we're doing like others, how we want it to be. He is to be first at all times. This comes before our career. You know, how many times have you heard of somebody that was going to relocate someplace? And it happens. I'm not against relocation. Sometimes it's necessary. But how many times have you ever heard them say, well, and once I get there, there's a church within so far. There's a church that I can go to. Or how many times do people relocate, and then once they get there, they try to find something? Well, that should be one of the first priorities. Is there a place where I can worship God? If there's not, then I would question whether it's the Lord's will for me to go. I just don't believe that God would lead you someplace where you can't go to church. I just don't think God works that way. He must be before not only our career, but He has to come before our family. Before our family. Now that's difficult at times. There may be something that you plan with your family for a lengthy period of time and you look forward to it and you're anxious for it and you can't wait to do it and the phone rings and everything changes. Why? Because you're serving. And I'm not talking about preachers, I'm talking about everybody. If you're needed, your service is to God, right? If somebody definitely needs you, and I mean needs you in a bad way, then your service goes to God. You know, you can reschedule or whatever what you had planned. Your service can come before your family, comes before your children. And this is a soapbox I can get up on because, you know, it just galls me, to be honest, that we have allowed in many instances, not all. That in school systems, that people have bowed down to the god of sport. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is their god. Because it comes first before everything. Now, I realize that there are occasions when I remember when Joshua played basketball, it was, what, one game a year? Two games a year that we let him go on Wednesday night. They were always getting close to the end. Maybe we shouldn't, but we did. But we had to work out with the coach on Wednesdays. He knew that at a certain time I was going to show up. And when I showed up, Joshua's practice was over. He came in here and we brought him to church. Why? Because he needed to understand that church comes first. Not the god of sport. And that's what I liked about when Allendale ran the Little League down here. And you can think about Allendale what you want to. But I'll tell you what, they didn't have no Sunday games when he ran it. They played through the week. He said there were six other days through the week they could play, and it did. And I respected him for that. Too many kids are being taught that there is something. And, you know, as they get older, that something could be turned into being something else. It's showing them that God does not come first. Whatever it is that you're a part of does. It even comes before our spouses. That's another difficult one. You know, you have something that you wanted to do and you're looking forward to it. And something happens, you can't go. You can't do it. You got to take care of something else. That's when it comes in to find out, do you serve grudgingly or do you serve with joy? You And you need to serve with joy because it's what you're here for. Are we not? It's not one of the primary purposes that all of us have in life is to help somebody else. If we can't help somebody else, then what good are we? If we can't reach out to somebody else, what good are we? You know, we need to be ready and willing to do so. There are occasions, such as health concerns, when we must think of our family. However, it's not as the manner of our lives. It's not something that just what we do all the time. He must come before our own desires. Before everything, God must be first. You know, I've actually done this before. They had something come up, and I thought that there was somebody that I knew, somebody was here that could really do it and do it a good job. And before I could talk to him, I think, oh, wait a minute. This is such and such a season, so I can't count on because it's such and such a season. Because that's going to come first, and that ought not ever come into a person's mind. What this does, this is our motivation for service with gladness. This is how we can live with an attitude of gratitude and knowing where everything comes from. This is because of the privilege that the Lord, This is because of the privilege that we have to serve the Lord as God. You know, there's no greater thing in the world than to be able to serve the Lord. You know, the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life, and I don't accept anything outside of my salvation and the salvation of my family. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was when God called me to ministry. You know, there have been some difficult times, and there'll be more difficult times. And I've laid more than my share of eggs. It's the square ones I ate, because that's where their corners hurt. But beloved, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Because it's what He has for me to do. And that's what you need to look at. We serve the God who's not a piece of wood or a hewn stone that is dead and has not feelings. Our God is alive and will be alive forevermore. What He's done. He's made us and we are His. He has a right to expect us to serve because we are His. He is the one who created us, a new creature in Christ Jesus. He is the one who made us what we are, gave us what we have, enabled us to do what we can do. So, beloved, He has a right to expect us. We do not deserve Him. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. And that should come first and foremost. As His sheep, He leads us. He provides for us. He guides us and comforts us. And He protects us. He alone, no one else, He alone is the source of all our blessings. And we must never forget that He is the fount of every blessing we have and all the blessings that we receive. Fourthly, He's worthy of our praise, verse 4. There's a great difference that we see here. The Israelites could only experience the presence of God through the Ark of the Covenant. He made His presence known through the cloud, and He dwelt above the mercy seat. There in the Ark of the Covenant, that's where He was. That was where God resided. But now, in our lives, because of Jesus, He resides within everyone who's saved through His marvelous grace and in the person of His Spirit. What a blessing we had that the Israelites never knew of. They may have foresaw it, but they didn't experience it. What a blessing it is that we have. Nothing can ever happen that will take His presence away from us. So we may grieve the Spirit. We may do some things that will hinder the Spirit. We may do things that He will withdraw His Spirit from helping us very much. He'll be there with us, but that's about it. But He'll never leave us and forsake us. We are His forever and evermore. So we have the blessing of always being in the presence of God. Our attitude should always be one of thanksgiving and one of praise. Looking at how this blessing worked, normally the blessing was transferred from the greater to the lesser. The one who had the most would give it to that one that had least that needed it. Thus, throughout the Old Testament, you find people seeking God's blessing. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the Lord till dawn? And I do believe it was the Lord like we've said in Sunday school. If you're not familiar with some of the things that connected that story, wait until the fifth Sunday meeting next Sunday. You will be. That's something I'm going to be dealing with. He tells the angel, the angel says, let me go. The dawn is approaching. let me go. And he tells him that he wouldn't let him go until he blessed him, until he blessed Jacob. He would not let him go. This was a blessing that he would bestow abundant and effective life upon the recipient. There's a lot of things that connect. Well, there's some things connect with that that we'll get into next Sunday. Thus, it was given from the greater to the lesser. The one who needed it received it from the only one who could grant it. It was normally a blessing for the future. You know, we know that the ancient Hebrews understood one thing about the blessing for abundant and effective living. It could only come from God. They couldn't muster it on their own. It had to come from Him. A person could not be separated from who they are. And we can't be separated from the fact that we belong to the Lord and that we are His. That we are His. That's why we're to bless His name. That's why we're to bless everything that's connected with Him. That's why we're to praise Him for what He's done for us. And lastly, God is good. God is good all the time. He's good to us when we don't deserve Him. Consider what He's done for us. Consider the fact that He saved us from the depth of our sins. The muck, the mire that we were in could not get out. The situation that we found ourselves was totally lost and undone. Consider what He is doing for us. He's placing His mercy upon us every day. He's leading us and guiding us daily where He'd have us go. He's enabling us to grow more and more all the time. Our knowledge of God is not something that's stagnant. It's something that should continually grow. And it will as long as we walk with the Lord as we ought to. His truth is without end. And it's not, you can read this Bible through 100 times and you'll learn 100 times things, at least that, if not more, every time you read it. You'll say, I never saw that before. And it's been there the whole time. What happened? God just opened your mind to where you could see it and where you could understand it. Consider what He will do for us. One day we'll go to be in His presence and we will spend eternity with the Lord. What a blessing that will be. Truly, this shows us that God is good. And He is worthy of our thanksgiving and our praise. You know, we are to live with awareness. As Americans, we are often tempted to see nothing but our own reality. You know, we have it really well. It was summed up like this. If we, it had been calculated that if you were to reduce the world's population to a city of 1,000 inhabitants, proportionally, 46 of those would be Americans, and the other 954 would represent the rest of the world's population. Those 46 Americans would receive half the income of the city, and the other half would be divided among the remaining 954 people. The 46 Americans would live a life expectancy of 75 years, while the other 954 people live less than 40 years. The Americans would have 15 times as many possessions per person as the rest of the people. While the Americans would receive more than half their daily food requirements, 800 wouldn't have what we would call a balanced meal. Simple fact of the matter is, beloved, in our land, and it's, I'm not saying this is a bad way, it's just a fact of our blessings, that dogs and cats of American people today have a better diet than most people around the world. And that's just because of God's blessings upon us. It's not because of anything else. We indeed have a great deal to be thankful for. You know, when we take our eyes and look around the other places of the world, it can't help but make us be thankful where we are and what we are. We need to take inventory. We need to take inventory of the many blessings in life we have. It's like what we were told when we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And it will always surprise us when we see what He's done. Finally, this is such a wonderful time of the year. I love this time of the year. I look forward to Thanksgiving. I look forward to all the trimmings that comes with Thanksgiving. It is truly a blessing. It's a good time, especially when we do what we should do. In all the festivities that we'll do, don't lose sight of the God who made all of it possible. It wasn't because of us, it was because of Him. Be thankful for your family and your friends. Oh, what a blessing a good family and friends are. They are handled like the precious treasure that they are. Be thankful for the roof over your heads and the comfort of your homes. I was thinking, Brother Garth was talking about being in a house when it was really blustery outside, getting close to the fire. You know, I found that when you get all warm like that and it's nasty outside, the wind's a howling, maybe it's sleeting ice and beating against the side of the house. You know, not only is it warm, it's cozy, isn't it? It's just a cozy feeling being home, all snuggled up in your warm clothes, sitting there. Just it doesn't take much to make you happy past that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I remember when we go down to my in-laws during deer season, go out and hunt all day, and when we come in, I could count on two things. My mother-in-law would cook a big old pot of beans or a pot of soup, and the beans was usually cooked on top of the wood stove, wasn't it? And thick gravy on that, and oh boy. And after we would eat, we'd sit close to that fire, and we wouldn't remember much after that. You get warm, and you get cozy, you get comfortable, and you go to sleep. Of course, y'all know it don't take much for me to go to sleep. I can go to sleep out anywhere, anytime. But what I'm saying is, be thankful to be able to do that. Be thankful for what you have. Be willing to help those who are less fortunate. We have them around us all the time, and we need to be willing to help them out if we can. And most importantly, be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for the fact that the presence of God who loves you is within you and with you always. Be thankful for all that we have in God. And beloved, if we do these things, I think it will be the very, very start of having a proper Thanksgiving season, a Thanksgiving time. May God help us to enjoy this Thanksgiving. Let us pray.